Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
It's been a long road. Like, legit.
Legit. It's been a long road to get over there. Well, we did.
They should have named this episode It's Been a Long Road.
I think they kind of did him a disservice with that.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, is when you think about it, like, we probably would have ended this last year if it wasn't for the breaks and the time that we stopped for Discovery. Mm. I mean, it was 13 weeks on Discovery, but that would have been 13 less weeks that we would have had to.
This is a big episode, though, or a big moment, because this is the first series we've completed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I have no issue that it's Enterprise. I love this show. You know, so I don't love this episode.
Yeah, I agree that when I was thinking about it, I'm like, wow, this is actually it. We're finishing our first series.
Right.
speaking of which, a month from now, roughly, is when season 2, 3 of Picard hits. Mm-hmm. And also what's coming out soon will be 4K versions of the TNG films.
Yes. I thought it was the TNG series.
Well, the series and film. Wait a minute. Let me pull this up real quick. Because I have it in the show notes, so if you guys want to follow, you guys can. And this comes from the Digital Bits, which kind of alluded to it a while back. And, okay, why aren't you loading up faster? Let's go, people. Come on. I think I can. There you go. All right, so it is going to be specifically 4K is similar specifically that the Next Generation feature films are going to be arriving at Paramount 4/4. They're arriving on 4/4 just in time for First Contact Day in 4K, as well as the final episodes of season 3 of Star Trek Picard. So that means that right now, the individual 4K SKUs for Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis. And then they're going to also have the Next Generation Motion Picture Collection are going to be all out in 4K.
Fuck yeah.
So get ready for that.
Now, here's the question, though. If they weren't filmed in a 4K camera, that just means that it's a sizing thing, right?
It's going to be part with the 4Ks. There will probably be some type of, upscaling involved. But usually, yeah, it's going to be a sizing thing. So they're going to have to they would have had to do some works for the larger televisions.
Okay. Because I know with some of the films, it's different because a lot of those films were filmed in a bigger format anyway, and then it was formatted. To right. fit your screen,
right?
Like it always said, you know, so you're going to get it in a pretty good cut. But with the TV shows,
that would have been harder to do. They did that with, I think they did that with some episodes of Friends. And the thing was, is you actually got to, it was kind of distracting because you saw outside the television lines, which means you would see some cables or the end of the walls.
Yeah, you saw weird shit you weren't supposed to see.
Right.
Because for me, if a TV show or a video game or whatever it was originally intended to be 4:3, I don't like changing that. Like, I don't give a fuck if there's black bars on the side of my, I don't care.
Yeah.
But the, like, perfect example is I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog today. And I was playing it on my computer and it was 4x3 and I can make it wide, but then it doesn't look right.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're stretching it. Like, yeah, that. you're stretching the image out.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, it would for relevance, you know, if people remember the old pan and scan VHS tapes, you know, when you would see movies that would fit your screen, and it always seemed like the camera had an odd pan at certain points. It's because there were two shots within that frame and they would pan for the other character. But then if you got widescreen, you actually saw it the way it was meant, where you get the bars on the bottom and the top. Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're watching TV on streaming services and you get those black bars, it's not even a big deal anymore. But yeah, as far as films go, I usually like the 4K releases because you also get it. Usually you get a digital copy. And then I usually use the streaming copy until I can upgrade to a 4K system and TV.
I just want to make sure that we got the commentaries, special features. Because I've told Steve a couple of times that I want to buy all the Star Treks on Blu-ray and stuff like that because of that. Because on the streaming services, you don't get that fucking shit. No. You don't get the commentary tracks and all that.
The only one you get any kind of special features on is Disney. That's the one thing I give Disney a lot of credit for. Because when you watch some movies, they'll give you deleted scenes and special features and stuff like that. Not audio commentaries, but yeah, I like how they give you more than what you just kind of see on there.
Audio commentaries are fucking great. It's like turning a movie into a documentary about that movie.
my favorite audio commentary is Tropic Thunder because they have, you know, they have the cast doing the commentary and RDJ, it's a deep pull, but he actually does what he says. Cause in the movie, they're like, well, if you don't believe this is right, then why are you still in character? And then he says, like, I don't drop character until I do the DVD commentary. So in the commentary, he does commentary as that character's voice. And as the character breaks down when it comes to the Australian accent, he'll do that until the very end where he's like, oh, okay, wow. All right, this is cool. Then he gets into his regular voice. It's hilarious. I love that commentary. That is one of my favorite commentaries. And plus, RDJ's a shit. So it's like, what are you going to do?
Character is so great.
All right. So, as promised, episode 114, These Are the Voyages, is our last entry in the Enterprise world. Yeah. And we are going to be doing the audio commentary of this episode. We'll definitely try to talk more during the commentary because sometimes, you know, you fall into the habit of actually watching the episode.
Yeah, so if you care to like hear every part of this story, you might want to watch it first and then come back and watch, because we're going to talk the fuck over it. We've already seen this shit.
Yeah.
And I say shit as a literal term. It's a horrible episode. The only part I do like in it is the when he addresses the Federation and stuff like that. Like, I dig that part because it's got some lore in it. But other than that,
lore, you trying to be funny there? I see what you did there. Which is funny because I was watching that episode Data Lore on the hell was I watching it on? Oh, I was watching on Heroes and Icons. They had that episode,
great,
TNG.
Great episode.
Looks like we got ourselves a family reunion. So if you want to watch this with us, we're both going to be watching it on Paramount Plus. And let me unlock my screen here, get into this.
Yep. So Steve's going to see, oh, that's the wrong window. Steve's going to do a little countdown and then we're going to press play. So I'm currently at the, you know, start watching Star Trek Enterprise, blah, blah, blah. And I see, T'Pol and Archer just looking disappointed. And I think it's because they're looking at the episode.
Yeah, I'm watching it on my iPad, so my screen just says Star Trek Enterprise. These are the voyages. Watch now with the arrow. So, all right, get ready to watch in 3, 2, 1, press play. Oh, and I gotta get through the ad first.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll pause it.
I forgot for some reason they play an ad on mine. Although I do want to watch that Jeremy Renner show, Mayor of Kingstown.
I've heard it looks good. I haven't seen any advertisements.
Yeah. All right, pressing play. Okay, now it's starting.
We got Mayweather to go. Yeah.
She looks really cute in this one.
She changed her hair, I think.
Yeah, she looks.
They both look different, just for the last episode.
Well, yeah, because it's supposed to be some holiday. Oh, thing, God, right? that pylon.
I thought. Oh, yeah, because this is supposed to be in the a little bit more in the future.
Yeah, because they're about to mothball Enterprise. It's like 6 years in the future, I think. Shalosh.
Oh, look, the outfit has.
That's
a name.
Yeah, that has their names on it. Yeah, that has their names on it. T'Pol's hair is even longer.
The decommission protocol.
And there he is. This part, I remember watching this and thinking, wait, I don't remember the holodecks doing that when they were changed, where they would holograph the uniform.
I mean, he might just ask. I know it could do that.
Yeah, but
he wanted to be part of the crew.
But in TNG, you had to go. Remember when they used to say, "Oh yeah, we got to go."
Skipping this, by the way.
No. We're not skipping the intro.
It's been a long time. Time is finally
here. Well, one of the things is like, I remember in TNG when they would say they have to go to the ship's stores to get the outfits. And then when they would leave the holodeck, they would still be in those outfits.
Well, wouldn't it, like, if they were going down, that's going down to a planet.
Yeah.
They would go down to a planet, they would have to ask. Yeah, that's true, because the Sherlock Holmes ones, they would walk out of the holodeck and still be in costume.
And even in Generations, remember when they promoted Worf? And then they came out in those old, in those 19th century... you know, uniforms.
Yeah. Well, they got a little upgrade on the Enterprise. It's no big deal.
No, I'm sticking to continuity, bitch.
It's that headcanon.
It's that headcanon. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to commit to something, you got to commit to it. That's what the fans deserve.
You have faith, bro. I'll have faith. Faith of the heart.
I need to get that model.
Beautiful. I think we're pretty synced up too. Yeah. So
that shot of the class D looks
good. With the stars kind of floating, that looks dope, dude. Rest in peace, Enterprise D.
See, my thing on this is that he's, I don't know why Troy made him go live through that holodeck program to figure out how to do things. But they could have spent more money on other stuff instead of recreating some areas of the Enterprise D.
No, fuck that, because that's the coolest part of the fucking episode, dude. Because I remember when this episode came out, I was fucking tripping because it'd been a while since we saw the Enterprise D on TV.
Not to mention this is supposed to take place during Pegasus and Riker definitely looks older. And Troy's hair never looked like that in the show.
Right. He's fucking different. Even the colors are a little off.
Well, they're bright. They're brighter. They're brighter.
Yeah. I think it's just the camera filming it is better.
Was this film or was this digital? I think this was digital.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's digital. The chef of the Enterprise.
Which is funny because we never met the chef at all during the series. We used to hear him mentioned. Oh, the turbo lift looked different.
Throwing it down in the fucking kitchen, bro.
Yeah. Damn. She's doing it for me in this. For some reason in this episode, she's. And there's my boy. There's my boy. Shran. He always owes him a favor. One of the things I thought about this is that I was like, okay, so this took place 10 years after the first episode.
Yeah.
So they said, well, if we had come back, you know, for season five, we could have retconned. And I was like, well, technically, if you could have just gone back to where you guys left off in Terror Prime and Demons.
Yeah.
And then it would have been fine.
Oh.
So he hooked up with that. He hooked up with that sister.
You already know, bro. Come on. My man, Shran.
She was probably pregnant when she probably got pregnant with his kid when they first met.
For real.
Like, that's how strong his game is.
He's got a girl in every starport. Why don't you watch the movie, Riker? You're fucking constantly freezing it. Jesus.
Just watch it on DVD.
Jesus. Oh, look, he got the fucking Riker threads on.
Yeah.
It says switch to observational mode.
Yeah.
So he's a ghost, bro. Yeah. That's right. Shran with that outfit. That's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I know, right? We always pick the wrong friends.
Hurt my feelings.
Well, I thought about this and I go, well, he's supposed to have been dead 3 years, so that would have been probably season seven if they had gone to seven. I go, that would make sense. And then you bring him back because no one ever dies in Trek or comics.
Unless you're Tasha Yar. Dead.
Dead.
Freaking dead.
I love how Archer is always kind of like flip it with his issues.
Yeah.
I kind of sit here thinking, like, you know, fucking Riker's doing a little bukkake over there in the corner watching them.
Riker looks so fucking out of place, dude.
He does. Not to mention the guy's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah. He's way too tall for this fucking ship. I'll tell you
that much. Oh, it was funny. He's an admitted criminal.
She looks so bored.
At well, she's, you know, the episode.
Yeah.
That outfit doesn't look very tight as all the other ones. It looks a little loose on her. Hey, it's the first time we've seen the water polo ball in a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, because I remember the first like 2-3 seasons, he was always with it.
It's only when he's stressed out. Okay. I love how that's the sport they picked for him to be into. It's like such a random fucking sport.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like, yeah, we gave Sisko baseball, which I think died by that point. But
that's baseball.
But that's baseball. Yeah, water polo?
And how is baseball dead, but water polo isn't? I'm honestly offended.
Riker's standing there going,
I love to watch.
Computer, I'll freeze. Playback, but slower.
There's the chef right there. Yeah. You say we never seen him?
Yeah.
Looking right at that motherfucker.
What was the, didn't he make eggs? And then everybody didn't like him except Worf.
Mm-hmm. Because he barely knew where the fucking eggs were even from.
Yeah, and then Worf's all.
I like that scene too, because Data looks at everyone else and then spits it out.
Yeah.
Who directs this episode?
Nobody, I think I remember. It wasn't Geordi, obviously.
No.
Gotta drop Tucker in there. That would have been war. That would have been cool if Wrecker was like, oh, is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Oh, yeah, they're broken up.
Yeah.
I forgot. I don't miss people. Shut up, bitch.
I don't miss people. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean for Miss Cold Bitch to come out.
Yeah, damn. Fucking chilly in here. I mean, all right, Elsa. Calm the fuck down with that.
Okay, I guess we'll just let it go.
Guess the cold never bothered you anyway.
Hey, I need to go into the icebox. You want to come build a snowman?
Yeah. Very illogical approach.
No.
Computer freeze program.
Sexual assault right there.
What the fuck? As she's frozen? I didn't see no consent.
I know, dude. It's like, Riker needs to be brought up on charges
one
now.
One thing that's cheesy about this episode, too, is this is probably the worst holodeck episode of all of Star Trek where the people move when it's frozen.
Oh,
yeah. Like in the first one where he freezes it, you fucking see Hoshi swaying in the wind. Those lights don't look right.
Yeah.
On the wall in the back.
Handball? Handball's around, but baseball's dead.
That kind of handball where you miss it and somebody pegs you in the fucking back with the ball. We used to play that, and then they banned it from school.
I think there was handball and then there was street ball. I think that's probably what it was.
Yeah. Hey, you missed, bro. Stand still. Don't be a bitch. That was a cool fucking game. And then they made it bitch made and nobody played anymore. Wall ball. That's what we called it. Wall ball.
Wall ball.
Yeah. Bro, if I could get one of those chairs as my computer chair, 110%. Imagine.
Those would be cool. Those have to be tall because, you know, how Riker is.
Yeah.
But they're tall enough that he can't lift his leg over to sit into it.
Well, I don't know, because look, it's at the same point in her head as it is in his. Is his bigger than hers?
I imagine.
I know. See, look, this dumb motherfucker about to hit his head on the beam.
Well, they just don't walk through the wall?
Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies. Yeah.
At least they don't have the glowing pylons like Columbia had.
Yeah, stupid. There is no first officer. The second in command is the science officer.
Which was in TOS, too.
Yeah.
Kirk's ship, not the Enterprise.
Name drop. Yeah. Down periscope.
Now this I thought was funny because like this I'm like, wait, there's more people in that hallway than it is in the entire series.
Yeah. You know how history kind of is never 100% accurate, you know?
I mean, like we know what happens, you know, towards the end of the episode. But it, to me, it just seems like a flimsy thing to do just because he's there going to be for the charter.
100% agreed.
Like,
there's a lot that happens in this episode that's not necessary.
Yeah.
And I'm looking right at it. My dog.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
See, this is how you know he's going to die.
Yeah.
In Star Trek, this is how you know. When somebody starts doing this.
Or when they say like, yeah, when we take this back, I'm going to go ahead and get married. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to have a,
that's right.
I'm going to have the
best life of my life.
Can't wait to start living.
I'm going to live for a long time. Dead.
And then you see Reed go, why are you putting that red shirt on?
Fucking dead.
No shit. Nobody does. Her lips look...
She's got some brighter lipstick on.
Yeah, but they also look a lot poutier than usual. I mean,
so I've single, bro. She on the scene. Computer for each paragraph. Huh? She ain't lying, bro.
You see her go, he's cute. Suddenly she slowly lowers herself out of frame.
Computer arch. You could tell that they CGI'd at some of that stuff because that exit from that room wasn't that great.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was reading that a lot of green screen shit.
I mean, it makes sense. It's for one episode, you know?
I mean, it's not like, you know, in the mirror darkly.
The perfection?
Yeah.
It's been a long road.
10 years and Hoshi and Mayweather are still ensigns?
Hey, someone's got to fucking do their job. Like, Mayweather still ain't saying shit. Goofy ass. Never mind.
Now Riker's all in, you know, Mako outfit. Like.
What is this fucking cheap ass Walmart windbreaker shit they got on?
Well, it's the last episode. They didn't want to blow the budget.
Yeah, for real. I love how they have brand new jackets for the fucking one episode.
Underneath so funny. What you don't see is underneath the collar, there says members only.
Oh, yeah. Reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. It's members only.
Do you know how long it's been? I remember.
Yeah. I have a calendar. It's marked down.
I haven't thought about those days in a long time. Except every night before I go to sleep.
So wait a minute. She says after speaking with Chef, that means that this interaction never fucking happened historically.
Yeah.
Because Chef wasn't, she never spoke to Chef. She was speaking to fucking Riker. Unless he was following a script or something.
Unless some of the elements were the same.
Yeah, and it just kind of blends it together.
Yeah.
Whatever. Ooh, that looks kind of clean, bro.
Yeah. It is funny because that's the first planet they went to in the pilot.
Yeah. This is the one where T'Pol yells at Trip.
Oh, yeah, for making it presumptions.
Screaming at the mother.
Yeah, making presumptions.
Yo, some aliens in Star Trek just look like villains, bro.
Yeah, being a fucking parent.
Yeah.
Shut that bitch up.
Leash your dog, Shrimp. I'd be like, what?
So they have her like right there. Yo, bitch, shut up. We'll get you McDonald's on the way.
It'd be funny if he was like, you're always fucking hungry. Doing something right now. Because that's me. You're always fucking hungry. Eat everything that's fucking out.
I want some pig's feet.
Some hog, ma. Chitlin. Is this what we're fucking in the days of replicators? Oh, no, they don't have replicators now, do they?
Well, they created a replica. They said they had to use some kind of scanner in order to find out it was a fake.
Now back up.
Once
He sounds familiar.
I'm hungry.
The cute kid.
Because you're always hungry.
She'll find you something to eat.
She has the Inar the skin.
She has what?
She has that the Inar skin. You know, the lighter.
She's
lighter.
A little lighter.
Yeah. You know, that mixed races.
Mm. Was he shacked up with the Inar?
Yeah, that's the chick that his wife was the...
Oh, yeah, word. Yeah,
was the sister of the...
Damn, it's sad as fuck. You send your kid away and you know you're about to catch a bullet.
But that's how dads do it.
That's right. Let's not scan it too long, fellas.
Is it gonna move back a little bit?
Oh, I forgot the two homies was up in the top.
Okay.
Surprise, bitch. Yeah.
Suddenly that black dude goes, "Surprise, motherfucker. Surprise, motherfucker."
Damn, don't no one know how to shoot?
I know. They're about as bad as stormtroopers. There's the one shot in here that you see Riker being all G in it. There he is.
Yeah.
It would have been funny to hear Riker going, "Pa-pow, pa-pow, pa-pow."
Look how dope he looks.
If he would,
fucking Rambo up this motherfucker, bro.
Would have been better if he had two of them. Just,
dude,
just,
that dude oversold that fucking toss into that net. You literally saw him jump. Oh shit, Archer. Oh no, that wasn't
that was
Archer.
Trip.
Reed. Oh, Trip.
Trip, yeah.
He tripped. Got him.
Gotcha. He literally had a dude hanging there and they still couldn't hit Trip.
That fall wouldn't even kill him. Trip.
No. I'm saying he's hanging right there and they still couldn't hit him with the phaser, right? With those phasers.
Like this. That's another way you know he's going to die, because he almost died.
Right.
It's coming. It's Final Destination shit, bro. Death will catch up to him.
Suddenly you see what's his Tony Todd come in there. Like, can't say thank you. Yeah, because she's kind of green.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Pink skin.
Thanks, pink skin.
You know I have a name.
Racist bitch.
Somebody's a little over obsessed here. I ain't wrong there.
The only consistency here is that Trip is still trying to leave the Enterprise. I know. Damn, I'm looking a little sexy right now.
And then Data's cameo.
He's only in the voice though, right?
Yeah. I think it's in the production notes, but that he looked a little too, it would have been a little too much to have him in person.
Yeah, well, because he has to sit on the makeup chair for quite a bit.
And I think at this point,
fucking awesome.
I think at this point too, he's put on a little weight since then.
Well, he's older.
Yeah,
because you could tell when he was in Picard.
Yeah,
it looked great, but you could tell there's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah,
but it was okay because it was fucking Brent Spiner. You can look any way you want.
Yeah.
Did you ever check out that book that he did? That fan fiction, really good.
Oh no, I haven't checked that.
The audiobook is a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Pegasus.
Oh, this is where this episode is.
Yeah.
Scene. That Pegasus episode's dope.
Yeah. But it just feels weird that why do you cram it into that episode? Like, why does it have to be in an episode?
I think they were just trying to make it memorable. I don't know.
I love how the windows of this look so much better than they did in the actual show.
Yeah. It's just random stuff.
Yeah. Or it would be shot against a wall so you don't have to put any VX in there. I know we're talking...
That kind of stuff... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know we've been talking about this for a while because you seem a lot older than you did when we first did this.
Right. No, but that shit kind of pissed me off when the newer Star Treks came out. I was like, it didn't look this good back then. Of course it fucking didn't. Suspend belief, bro. Like, that was the 60s.
I know. I see people on there like going, I can't go through the original TOS. The inconsistencies are so bad. Kirk's attitude is questionable. And it's just like, oh my God, people. It's like, you understand that if we didn't have TOS, we don't have anything else.
That's right. Respect your elders.
Ooh. Here we go.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
And she's cooking. You know, I know it's kind of sexist, but I think it's hot when a chick's cooking.
I know what's different with her. Her hair's down.
Yeah.
Cause
she doesn't have it tied up.
Yeah, she doesn't have it pulled back like it's, you know, like it's for somebody to grab onto later. I would be doing observation mode anywhere with Hoshi going,
It pressing too hard.
Sorry, that's all I know how to do this.
Y'all would know that if I ever had any fucking speaking roles on this damn shit.
Oh, he ever take a swing at Picard? like who? Hey, Phlox is out of sick bay.
Why is everybody cooking all of a sudden?
He has everybody helping him out. So he got addicted to sex.
On getting neural pressure treatment from T'Pol. That's enough.
He wasn't addicted to sedatives. He was addicted to sex.
That's right.
That Vulcan sex.
That's right.
Does it seem a little weird that he would keep asking about Trip? Like, you know, like when people are just openly discussing about Trip, it's like, why are you obsessed with Trip?
Yeah. They're not being very subtle.
Hmm.
What kind of whiskey is that?
Aviation. Fucking Ryan Reynolds is in there.
Because they're showing the bottle, so they must be trying to show us something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
Yeah, it's an old bottle from the 21st century called Aviation.
Yeah.
You see Ryan Reynolds pop up from underneath the table behind it and then puts it back down.
It's from an ancient earth drink called Everclear. Can also be used as paint thinner.
And unclogged toilets.
Jesus.
This is
I had Everclear once and I was like, I'm never having this again.
This is an ancient French drink called absinthe.
I'm tripping, bro. Intruder alert.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's these assholes.
Yeah. Like that. Need to mention that to Shran.
How'd they get on the ship so fucking easily, dude?
Yeah, I know. It's like, they were at warp, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's like... See, this is where he becomes irrational.
Trip wouldn't do this. Like, he would probably say it once, but then as soon as Archer was like, stop it, he would stop.
Yeah. Like, for me, it's just like, you need to be there to sign the charter. That means everything. It's like, I don't see that being that big of a deal.
Yeah. I I wonder what Trinneer said about this episode, real talk.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I know a lot of the cast didn't really care too much for this episode.
Well, I think a lot of them were upset too because the show was ending.
Well, no, I think a lot of them were upset because they were secondary characters.
Yeah,
because there was a lot of scenes with Trip, Riker and Troy. Yeah, it was a TNG episode. Don't mind these. This is my stash of porn. See, he's just seems too eager to die. Like in every other episode we've seen, he's not that eager.
Yeah.
You know, like we couldn't have figured out a way to jettison out of an airlock or something like that, or use force fields or something like that.
That's the thing that pisses me off this episode. He doesn't have to die.
Yeah.
There's no reason. It's just the writers trying to forcefully make it an emotional connection.
Yeah.
Like, there's a million different ways you could have solved that problem.
Yeah. I need to take you to these Jeffrey tubes to get to him.
Yeah, I need to take you to the exact opposite of the ship. Surprisingly, it's actually in the armory. We're fucking Reed stay strapped, bro.
Reed strapped like the fucking Terminator.
Well, that's the thing, is all he had to do was really stall him. Everybody knows Hoshi's the one that said intruder alert.
Yeah.
So the bridge knows.
Well, I want to know where were the Makos.
Better get them. Better get Makos. I'm just being stupid for that. They've also saved people from far worse.
Oh, I know.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, Trip's already died once in this series.
He dying too.
Yeah.
Thing is even when I saw this, I wasn't even that sad because it was so dumb.
Yeah. That was the same thing with me, is it didn't have the emotional impact because... Yeah, it was. Remember in Discovery?
Like, it's acted fine. I'd throw that in there.
Like, remember in Discovery when Arium died, when she sacrificed, where she told Michael to kill her because she was taken? That was more emotional. That was more emotional.
Because that made more sense, too.
Yeah, than this. He gives him that little wink.
He goes, hey, wait. They pull him out. Don't fuck DePaul.
Make sure she don't fuck anybody. He's looking at her like that eye wink was a little weird. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, Captain.
Make sure nobody touches her.
Yeah.
He's scuba diving. Scuba tuba. Doesn't she cry too?
No.
I thought she did. No. I thought there was a scene where she cried. That fake ass fishing photo, bro. I saw that. What's up with that Frankenstein at the top right?
He was like, well, we can Photoshop this. Don't worry about me, T'Pol. I'm just here to clear his browser history.
Excuse me. For real, bro.
And then you see him go into his computer and then he opens up a folder that says Trip's technical manuals, and technicals are in parentheses, and then he encrypts, locks it, so like nobody can get into it, because that's what a bro does. Like,
I would fucking die.
Oh, now she wants to meet his parents. That was a cool shot.
Yeah.
But she dead, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Trip was in the horror movies, old horror movies.
Yeah. You missed her more now that she's dead than when she was alive.
Trip just died and you're still talking about your fucking moms. Like, you stay on topic.
You see Archer go, somehow you always manage to turn it into you, don't you?
Trip ain't even cold yet. And you already talking about somebody else. You fucking bitch.
not to suppress them, not to the point to where you're just a cold bitch.
Damn. No, but for real. The next horizon.
But it's just been a long road to get to here.
Seriously. It's been a long road. To this day.
What's funny, though, is that he's giving this, like, about, now I have to get because he's dead. It's like, going, motherfucker, he almost died with the Zindi. Like, it's like, I don't, yeah. You know, it's like, and he didn't need to die.
But didn't he?
Ain't you dead?
Didn't he die? What the fuck?
I know. It's like, what are we doing? A Tarantino cut here feeling, where something's out of order?
Well, I don't have a feeling. I know. All these little interactions were just so he could have some one-on-one time with the people.
Yeah.
They didn't happen. The typical Riker, a little over the top with fucking getting into character here.
Of course.
Actually cooking food for people that don't exist.
Well, what's funny, though, is that I don't see how Tripp's actions constitute whether he's going to tell Picard or not about what's going on. Like, I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't get a lot of stuff in this episode, to be honest. Y'all are buddy.
Hey, I don't ride everybody's dick, but I'll ride Archer's dick.
To the day I fucking die. It's also weird to have him die and then we have this scene.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was kind of like, why are we having this out of order? I guess it's because to give him, it's like, maybe it was meant to be earlier, but then they're like, well, let's put it towards the end. So then it makes it a little more meaningful.
Also, too, why didn't they just have a longer scene with Hoshi? You know what I mean?
Like, why did she have to be clothed?
The clothing's fine. They leave a little mystery. You know what I mean?
No, they have her wear that outfit she wore in the Mirror Darkly.
She's like, I'm too old for that fucking mystery shit. Trying to see some cheeks.
That shot we saw from, what was it? Daniels, where Daniels showed him the future. That was the same shot.
It was this scene, basically.
Yeah. That's a bit racist, Malcolm.
He's right, though. I see you, Troy. Ain't slick.
Scott Bakula said in a recent interview, I like Archer's outfit in this
the dress uniform. The dress uniform. It looks more like a suit.
Yeah. I thought she was going to kiss him. Like,
yes, she was.
But what I was going to say was Scott Bakula said in an interview that, you know, he's up to returning to Star Trek.
He technically could.
Yeah. Everybody's saying Strange New Worlds. But I was thinking,
how old would he be in Strange New Worlds? Be an admiral?
Yeah. Well, in Strange New Worlds, it's probably about, well, humans had longer lifespans back in the day.
Well, yeah, but he was an admiral. We know from the Kelvin timeline, an admiral around when Scotty was.
Oh, yeah, where he said Archer's,
Starfleet.
Archer's dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, humans had longer lifespans because they they didn't die from shit anymore. They just died from being old.
Yeah. You know that swirly thing you used to do with your tongue? Nope. Kind of helped me relax a little bit right now. That's the old uniform we're used to that she's wearing.
Yeah.
A little more form-fitting. That would be something to wear to a con, his dress uniform.
Fuck yeah, dude. And no one wears that.
Exactly.
He slipped a tongue in her ear. I saw it.
She's like, may I ask why you grabbed my ass at that moment? Just making sure.
Trip Look, now right. They can actually put something on that screen. It's a fucking Palm Pilot and shit.
It's a Pippin.
Here it is, bro.
He grabs her ass and then he's like, no, just confirming what Trip said about it.
one of the most historic events in Star Trek history is in one of the worst episodes of Star Trek history.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they didn't have Trip dying, it wouldn't be that bad.
No.
It's the Trip dying thing that throws me off.
Yeah. Because it's senseless.
It was just for nothing.
Yeah. And then the motivation for... even the motivation for this whole thing.
Yeah.
And this didn't make sense. Okay, we need to cross sides as we walk away. Like,
I think it's because they want her to be closer to the camera when they turn, because he would have covered her.
Yeah, this is cool though.
Card doing an outro.
Yeah.
Oh, you got hit
to explore strange new worlds. To
this was cool.
Seek out. Yes, and then to give Archer his shot. Although he was very politically incorrect.
No man. Has done before.
Yeah, wow. That was the original.
I know it was, but, you know, slavery's abolished too, okay?
Because slavery is abolished too, Jesus.
Just saying. And now it wants you to watch Voyager. It's leading right in.
It's like, no, thank you. One bad thing is good enough.
Oh, it's season one, episode one, Caretaker. It's where the three shows meet.
Yeah, because somebody, I saw on Twitter, somebody was saying like, name something about Star Trek that would have you turn in your Star Trek card. And a lot of people were bashing TOS. And then someone said, Voyager is overhyped. And I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Voyager's okay. Right.
Actually, my one to get my card revoked would be Janeway's a good captain. It's the rest that were trash.
I think Janeway and Seven were the two best characters on that show. And not just because Seven was hot. Like, she
was good.
Was a character, and she developed and stuff like that.
Yeah, she did.
Everyone else was a very... I think that was the biggest problem with Voyager, is everyone except for the captain and except for Seven didn't develop at all.
Yeah.
They were exactly the same the entire show.
Well, the Doctor. I think the hologram
That's
evolved
true,
more.
That's true, my bad.
The doctor evolved again, more than the...
Those are the three... favorite characters of everybody from that show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I love so Kate Muldrew, I got the fucking it's the autobiography of
Janeway,
and it's read by her.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
I got it and I listened to a little bit of it. It's her voice is amazing.
Dude, she's
she sounds like Audrey Hepburn.
Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny too because she played Katharine Hepburn in a play. And yeah. I was like, well, I can see that with the voice. My favorite Katharine Hepburn movie, The Philadelphia Story.
I've never seen it.
It has James Stewart, Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn. What the fuck was that?
Because I said I'm not old.
No, it's a great movie. Catherine Hepburn, Cary Grant, and Jimmy Stewart. It's like best cast. It was a base.
Jimmy Stewart had the goofiest voice,
but it was distinguishable. Like you always,
yeah, did. Like you remembered it.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah.
Oh no, Mary.
Like, oh, hello, okay? Bedford Falls. All right, that was. These are the voyages.
If I could give you the moon, I'd throw a lasso around it and pull it down. God bless everyone. Sorry. Let me get back to the topic.
Well, again. You can't tell an Andorian from a Tellarite.
Oh. Oh, there's four lights. There's only four. He kind of sounds like fucking Mickey Mouse.
We are the Borg, and resistance is futile.
Oh jeez. Okay. This is the final episode of Star Trek Enterprise. It was the first series finale since the counterclock incident. That is not a feature-length episode. This episode marks the end of a constant Star Trek series production run that started with the beginning of Star Trek The Next Generation in 1987. That's depressing, too.
And this is, what, 2005?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it was a big deal. There's no Star Trek on TV? Like, I was tripping. Yeah, my entire life, bro, Star Trek was on TV.
Well, yeah, since, like, because TNG started my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. This is 2005 that I've already been out of high school almost 15 years, and this is the first time that there's no Star Trek, you know, on TV.
And that's when the world started going to shit.
Yeah, so, exactly.
This episode marks the end. Oh, no. The 22nd century events of this episode actually take place on the holodeck of the USS Enterprise D in 2370 during the episode TNG The Pegasus. This is the only series finale in the Star Trek franchise where the actual ensemble crew of the series do not appear, but rather their holographic copies. The only other Star Trek episode that technically does not feature any main character was Voyager Living Witness.
That was cool because that was their clones.
Yeah, yeah, that was really cool.
That was a cool
Voyager
episode.
Had some fucking fire episodes.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a lot of filler episodes, too. Rick Berman describes this episode as a Valentine to the fans. Thanks.
Which obviously he hated the fans. Yeah. This is the Valentine's.
This episode was reported to have been written as a possible finale for the show's third season had the series not been renewed, according to Enterprise producer Mike Sussman. However, while the idea for this episode was conceived during that year, the episode was not written until season four. According to Rick Berman, this episode would have been the fourth season finale, even if the series had been picked up for a fifth season. He did state, however, that if the series had been renewed, Tucker would still have been killed off because the episode flashed forward in time. And so when the show came back for the new season, Tucker would still have been alive. In later interviews, Berman said that if the show had been renewed, several story elements, including Tucker's death, would likely have to change. Yeah, that would be retarded. That would be the stupidest thing. I'd be so confused.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that it was 10 years. It happened 10 years in the future.
No, I get it, but it's still dumb.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You know, it's like, just, again, it's even more of a useless plot
point. No, what would happen is that Trip would come back as a Romulan because when he died, he actually went into the future and was a prisoner of the Romulans and then came back as their Romulan human love child.
That's right.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's not like it hasn't worked before.
Right. This is the first appearance of the USS Enterprise D since its destruction in Star Trek Generations.
R.I.P.
As mentioned by Archer, Rigel 10 was also the first place Enterprise visited in Broken Bow. The only exterior shot of the NX-01 Enterprise in this episode appears in a closing montage. This is consistent with the narrative method established in TNG. that the viewers can't see the exterior shots when a starship is recreated on the holodeck. Which makes sense. An early draft to the script.
That's a very limiting holodeck, though.
Huh?
It's a very limiting holodeck, though, if you can't get that.
Well, I'm just saying, it's kind of like a mental thing where they're not actually in that ship, so you're not going to see the outside of it. See?
Yeah, but still.
You gotta be there, you know? An early draft of the script ended with Riker and Troy exiting the holodeck, followed by a shot of the Enterprise-D moving off into the asteroid field. Writer-producer Mike Sussman suggested the final montage sequence as a way of honoring all three Starship Enterprise-based series, Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Enterprise. The montage also allowed the prequel series to end on a more appropriate image, Archer's ship soaring majestically toward a nebula.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
This keep episode establishes circling. The NX-01 still exists in the 24th century within a Starfleet museum.
Naturally.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
What the fuck else would it be? This episode contains the first use of remastered footage from TNG, specifically from the episode Menage a Troy.
That's a good episode. That's a good episode.
For use during the scene in 10 Forward. Also, unlike the remastered collection of TNG, which was released in the 4x3 aspect ratios, this footage was shown in 16x9.
Oh, one thing I forgot to say when we saw that shot in 10 Forward, you see the back of Captain Picard's head.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Nice. Picard's in there, but it's the back of his head. I remember watching it the first time because I watched it once before this because I wanted to see if, you know, I could come up with any jokes or something
Yeah, because it's reused footage.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, I saw Picard's head. I was like, oh, shit, there's Picard.
Number one. It's fucking Professor X.
You start hearing the X-Men theme going on in the background.
It's Hamlet. Scott Bakula, Jolene Blaylock, and Connor Trinneer are the only actors to appear in every episode of the series.
Sometimes twice in one episode. That's right. Like Trip and his clone.
Porthos is the only character beside the regulars to appear in both. Oh, sorry. This episode in the pilot, Broken Vow. I mean, he's a professional. You know, and
he probably commanded a little more money, but you know,
about 50 million, yeah. You know,
over five years.
That's right. This episode features five actors who previously appeared in a Star Trek finale. Majel Barrett appeared in TOS Turnabout Intruder and TNG All Good Things. Jonathan Franks, Martin Surtis, and Brent Spiner also all appeared in TNG's All Good Things, and Jeffrey Combs appeared in Deep Space Nine's What You Leave Behind. Additionally, William Shatner, Turnabout Intruder, The Counterclock Incident, and Patrick Stewart, All Good Things, appear through archived voiceovers at the end of the episode. In addition to this episode,
you know what would have been funny? You know what would have been funny is if suddenly at the end of the episode, Mayweather and Reed and Trip and everybody's sitting around a poker table and then Archer comes in. They just reenact the last time.
It just wouldn't make any sense. They just do it anyway.
Yeah, it's like, why? The rest of the episode doesn't make sense. Let's just do this.
In addition to this episode, Jonathan Franks has appeared in all of the live-action Star Trek spinoffs, with the exception of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Strange New Worlds. In Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Picard, and Star Trek Voyager's Death Wish, he featured as Commander William T. Riker in Star Trek Deep Space Nine's Defiant. He reprised his role from TNG's Second Chances as Thomas Riker. With their performances in this episode, Jonathan Franks and Martin Surtis joined an exclusive club of actors who had played the same character in three different live-action Star Trek series. The only other actors to do so are Armin Shimerman, John DeLancey, Michael Ansara, Mark Alan Shepard, and Richard Poe, including archived footage from Trials and Tribulations, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, and Leonard Nimoy, also qualify. They would later be joined by Patrick Stewart and Brent Spiner, who voiced his, who provided his voice to Lieutenant Commander Data. provided his voice as Lieutenant Commander Data, but does not actually appear in this episode. If you include archive footage as used in Trials and Tribulations, I feel like this reads like a fucking riddle. As used in Trials and Tribulations and voiceovers, this episode would also add William Shatner. That's great. Fuck that one. There's a lot of people that were in multiple fucking shit. All right. That's what it says.
Now, can you answer that, Batman?
In addition to the appearance of Franks and Sirtis and Spiner's voice cameo, background actor David Keith Anderson appears in 10 Forward. Anderson was a frequent uncredited background actor in Star Trek Next Generation, including The Pegasus. His character was named in other episodes as Ensign Armstrong. Anderson also served as a stand-in for Anthony Montgomery.
Wait, Anthony Montgomery, that's Mayweather? Yeah. Was he black?
Listen, the magic of Hollywood.
I guess.
Alan Croiker previously directed the final episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, okay, so he's the director of this one.
Yeah. Much of the Pegasus crew manifest viewed by Riker comprises the names and photos of the show's production personnel, such as Ronald B. Moore and Don Velasquez.
I thought I recognized that name. I saw Don Velasquez. I go, that name, I've seen that name before. That's why.
The attendance at the ceremony seated around Sato Reed and Mayweather consists of behind-the-scenes personnel dressed in Starfleet or civilian garb. This mirrors the final episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, in which various cast and crew members made cameos as customers at Vic's Lounge during the celebration of the Federation's victory in the Dominion War.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, we can be in it now? Cool. That'll be cool. You know I'd be in that shit. Like, you're like,
in the back fucking chilling. I would like, staring directly at the camera.
Can I get an Admiral's outfit? Be in the back and just stare. When the camera pans, just, yeah, look dead in the lens as it passes me by.
You know, just to shake things up, can I be dressed like Han Solo? You
know? I'm the only stormtrooper in the...
That'd be so cool. This episode marks the final contribution to the Star Trek franchise from Rick Berman. Brandon Braga later wrote the story for the comic book series Star Trek The Next Generation Hive. This is the only Star Trek series finale to carry the same writing credits as the pilot episode for that series, albeit Gene Roddenberry and Rick Berman had story by credits on the final episode of Star Trek The Original Series and Star Trek Voyager, respectively, having written or co-written the first episodes of those shows. That read like you get called up to read a Bible verse and you unfortunately get the fucking the damn genealogy part, right. And you're like, ugh.
I was gonna send you this YouTube video, but I guess I forgot. Somebody did a YouTube video that actually did a side by side of the original episode Balance of Terror and the Strange New Worlds. Their version, that the season finale. And like the video would gray, one side of the video would gray out when it wouldn't be part, but then it would come back when some of the dialogue or some of the shots and stuff of that mirrored one another. I was like, you know, I'll send that to you. It was actually really, really cool. I watched it. I was like, oh, that's a really cool way they did that.
The series pilot, Broken Bow, begins with the lines, "Where no man has gone before," spoken by a young Jonathan Archer. This episode, the season finale, ends with the lines, "Where no man has gone before," also spoken by Archer.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It's been a long road, though, getting from there to here.
That's right.
So, you know.
From the misogyny. While discussing the decommission of the NX-01 Enterprise with Tucker, Reed announces all good things.
I did notice that.
Yeah. This was a reference to the title of the finale of TNG. While drinking to the Warp 7 engine with Tucker, Captain Archer toasts, "Here's to the next generation," another reference to the episode's involvement with the TNG series.
You know what would have been funny if they started like doing random things where they'd be like going, well, you know, Code of Honor, You know, yeah, they just start naming random episodes. Silly. They just start naming random episodes, you know. Well, it's Chain of Command. they start using all the all like random episode titles from TNG. You know, it's what they say. It's best of both worlds, you know.
You know, I'm I gotta go take a shower. I'm gonna get naked now. Did it. You're welcome. After the captain saves Tucker's life, the engineer thanks Archer by referring to him as boss. Broken Bow is the only other episode in the series in which that word is used. In Broken Bow, a crewman named Fletcher offers Tucker a seat in the mess hall, but the engineer continued through the room stating, "Dinner with the boss tonight." I say that a lot at work. Hey, boss. Morning, boss. I don't know why. It's mainly because I just forget everybody's name.
Well, ceremony you witness. Know, I mean, you know, you, me, Captain. I mean, it's just kind of a menage a trois.
Yeah, pretty much.
The ceremony witness at the end of the episode may not be the signing of the Federation Charter, as is commonly believed, but rather the signing of the Charter ratifying the Coalition of Planets, which soon led to the formation of the United. Whatever. This is evidenced by Troy's remark to Riker that the Alliance will give birth to the Federation. Alternatively, Troy's remark may simply be referring to the contemporary 24th century Federation, which is a far larger, more developed galactic union than the one being born and depicted here. From this point of view, Troy is fascinated by the fact that such a relatively small alliance grows into the Federation she knows.
You just see, going back to some of the titles, you just be, well, to Paul, what does it read? 11001001.
Idiot. That's a good episode too. The second NX class ship, Columbia NX-02, had columns installed on the bridge that Enterprise did not have at the time. In this episode, similar columns can be seen on Enterprise's bridge.
But they didn't glow and, like, you know,
yeah, pulsate so and stuff. Really. Yeah.
Which was like, what the fuck are these? We're channeling the warp engines. Oh, the lights are pulsating faster.
It's a heater, bro. It got cold in Enterprise. Some of the computer monitors on the bridge were showing graphics.
They were ambient lighting. Like, they change colors with mood, you know, like the bridge would get purple. Yeah. When they do a YouTube video.
He's got a little girly up there or something.
You got somebody, you know, suddenly the captain's becoming an e-girl. Like, she's standing in front of him that's, like, purple, and she's doing a YouTube video.
Stupid. Some of the computer monitors on the bridge are showing graphics that resemble more closely some of the computer panels of the Star Trek The Original Series, USS Enterprise. A box-like computer console can be seen on the left side of the captain's chair, a possible precursor to the Deuteronic computer consoles found on 23rd century Federation ships. The holodeck, 10 forward lounge, senior office quarters, and a stretch of Enterprise D corridor was recreated for this episode from scratch. The observation lounge set is mostly the original set restored to its former as seen in season 5-7, after having served in a revamped form as the Enterprise E observation lounge in Star Trek First Contact and Star Trek Nemesis.
That could be why it looked weird.
Yeah.
But the see, if they didn't spend the money on recreating the TNG sets, they could have made a 2-hour movie.
They could have, yeah. But they didn't.
Yeah.
Tucker would still die. The establishing shot of 10 forward after the teaser was taken from the episode Menage a Trois, as Wright and Grax can briefly be seen talking to Picard. The back of Riker playing 3D chess with Nabor from Menage a Trois can also be seen.
Riker's in two places at once?
Yeah. Whereas the majority of Enterprise Season 4 was either set in 2154 or 2155, the 22nd century events of this episode took a relatively major leap in time to 2161. This was noted at the start of the episode's final draft script, which stated, although we don't know it yet, it's 6 years later, we should notice subtle differences in our characters, this uniform and our sets. Hence, the script did not reveal outright that those events were really set on the holodeck of the Enterprise D. In this episode, it is revealed that Shran had a daughter with Jamel, an Anar female whom the Andorian met in the Anar. In First Contact, members of Starfleet stationed on Earth, including Archer and Tucker, wear a Starfleet symbol on their left shoulder. In this episode, the crew of the Enterprise wear the same symbol on their right shoulder with the starship symbol on their left. Oh, let me sit up. There you go.
What were you doing, leaning back?
No, I was just sitting. I just got to get closer to the monitor. Epaulets are introduced in this episode, similar to those shown in A Mirror Darkly. Also in First Flight, a flashback scene to 2143 shows Archer meeting Tucker for the first time. In this episode, Mayweather tells Riker that the captain and engineer have known each other for approximately 20 years, which seems to correlate with their initial encounter 18 years prior to this episode. The holodeck in this episode creates a holographic 22nd century Starfleet uniform over Riker's 24th century uniform. In previous appearances, the Enterprise D's holodeck is never shown to have this capacity. The USS Enterprise E does, and the crew are frequently seen dressed in character while on their way to and from the holodeck. When they are interrupted, they sometimes resume their duties while in costumes, as seen in TNG's The Big Goodbye, Elementary, Dear Data, and Star Trek Generations. Riker poses as the chef, seems to echo several TNG episodes, such as Times Squared, where Riker mentions his interest in cooking.
But not always the best.
Even though they have been serving in Starfleet for at least 10 years by 2161, both Hoshi and Mayweather are still ensigns. However, as seen in her dossier in A Mirror Darkly Part 2, Hoshi will rise to the rank of Lieutenant Commander during the next 5 years.
See, as noted, what do you have to do to get promoted from ensign? Because remember, what's his name? Harry was also an ensign after 7 years. It's like, what do you have to do to become to get out of being an ensign?
You gotta suck the right dick. You know what I mean?
I guess. Maybe that's what Hoshi was doing when she's letting her hair down, trying to get that promotion.
Oh. You tie your hair up for that. Wait, everything just jumped around. Now I have no idea where I am. Great.
Reception.
Okay. Did you just delete something?
Yeah. There was some things that I thought I deleted, and I guess
I was looking at it, and then it just disappeared, and I was like, huh? Get out of my head! Speaking of the 2007 Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, co-writer Brandon Braga admitted he had regrets. What a shock. About this episode. He explained that he and Rick Berman were attempting to send a Valentine to all the Star Trek shows, and that Enterprise just happened to be the show on at the time. He believed the episode had some great stuff in it and that it was a cool concept. But overall, however, he found it to be languid and not a complete success.
Not a complete success? I would even call it a remote success.
Absolute failure. In response to fan criticism, series producer Manny Coto stated that he personally considered this episode to be a coda rather than the true finale of the series. Both he and fellow series producer Mike Sussman consider the two-part story Demons and Terra Prime that precede this installment to be the actual finale. I don't know why I keep saying finale of the Enterprise storyline. I'm really tired. In 2008, Brandon Braga, recalling this episode and its reaction, stated, I don't think it's ever going to be a beloved episode. Similarly, Rick Berman stated in 2011 that the episode was a failure and claimed that he never would have produced it if he had known what the reaction to it would be. Well, that's kind of a dumb comment. That's like putting out something and somebody doesn't like it. And you're like, well, I wouldn't have made it if I knew you weren't going to like it. Well, of course you wouldn't have.
I know.
So stupid.
Hindsight being 20/20.
Right. At a 2009 Star Trek convention, Jonathan Franks simply said the episode stinks. Which is funny because he's the star of the fucking episode.
Yeah, but you can be a star of a movie or whatever and go, no, the movie was kind of shitty. You know,
it was a paycheck.
I was phenomenal. I was great. I mean,
yeah, I was amazing.
I was amazing. I literally made women orgasm just by being on the screen. The rest of the episode sucked.
Typical Riker win. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
In contrast, Dominic Keating has stated, I loved it. I've said this at the conventions many times, but I had no issues with it. Keaton remarked that he greatly enjoyed his scenes with Franks and Sirtis. He admitted, I thought that device they used in order to include them was a bit clunky, but once you've gotten past that, it was fine. And fair dues to Brandon and Rick, they were winding up 17 years of their take on the series. It wasn't like our 4 years. They'd done a lot more stuff prior to us. So I thought it was fair enough. Fair enough is a very British way of saying it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, yeah. And suck a dick.
Just leave it at that. John Billingsley took a more neutral position in a 2006 interview. He commented, I wasn't wild about the last episode, but as is often the case, I think probably more is made of these things than should be. It arguably should have been more about our story than the Next Generation's cast, and I think people who were a little put out perhaps had a point. He added, it seemed to me from things that I've read or heard that people's reaction were a little over the top. I also think they were on some level trying to find a way to say goodbye, or at least goodbye for now, to the entire franchise. And to that extent, I could understand what the thought process was in wanting to bring in some of the Next Generation characters. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Would you like me to read some? What?
No, I'm almost done now.
Okay.
In an interview with the Toronto Star in 2005, Jolene Blaylock stated that she doesn't, quote, know where to begin with that one. The final episode is appalling. appearing on the Trek Track show at Dragon Con, where LeVar Burton and Martin Sirtis were interviewed, the latter stated, personally, I thought it was a good episode. I just don't think it was a good last episode.
That's fair. A good point. That's a fair one, yeah.
Yeah. In 2013...
I was amazing, though, so.
Right. I really elevated the entire series, really. In 2013, 8 years after the airing of this episode, Brandon Braga apologized to the entire cast of Enterprise for it and said he thought Rick Berman and he made a narcissistic move in trying to make the episode a Valentine to Star Trek. He also called it a crappy episode. I mean, at least he kept it real.
Yeah, that's Brandon Braga, the Brandon Braga we know. You know,
that's right. Episode sucked.
My balls looked better than this episode.
That's right. 1 year later, Braga dined even further on ashes. That's a saying I haven't heard in a very long time. Who fucking wrote this? 8-year-old?
Dining on ashes.
When he stated at the 2014 Vegas Con, the final episode of Enterprise was an idiotic move on my part. I thought it would be cool to do a Valentine to all of Star Trek. I'm tired of saying the word Valentine. To me, there was something really postmodern about the idea of saying this was an episode of The Next Generation you have never seen, where they go on the holodeck with their heroes aboard Enterprise. It sounded good in my head. What ended up airing was really bad and not successful completely. It would have been Enterprise's finale. It was a misstep. Having added the Enterprise's actors, they hated it. It was the only time Scott Bakula got pissed off at me.
You know what would have been good? I think what it would have been good is if instead of, or even with Terra Prime and Demons, if they really worked that as a real finale, like an actual finale.
Yeah, you know, like change it up.
Changed it up to make it like a real like send off. And then you have one more episode and then you do something a little different. You know, like going, okay, take this is the finale, but this is our epilogue. You know, yeah. This is something that we're gonna do that's a little out of the norms. And then you can add characters, make it a time travel thing or something like that, you know.
Do some goofy shit.
Yeah, something with that. I think that would have
I think it would be cooler if it was like older Archer, like reminiscing or something. I don't know. Mm. Basically, you don't need the TNG cast in the fucking finale. That's what I'm trying to say.
You see at the end, Archer's like about to leave the Enterprise, and then all of a sudden this door opens up and it's Al steps in and goes, okay, yeah. Sam, it's time to come home.
It was an episode of Quantum Leap the whole time.
The whole time, yeah. It is like, it's time to come home, Sam.
That would be, and he goes, finally. That would be fucking crazy.
The screen lights up to bright white, then goes, and then it just the caption reads, and then Samuel Beckett returned home.
Yes. I would stand and clap in my home.
In like, I would be there, and all of a sudden you hear me just go.
Yup. At the 2016 Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, These Are the Voyages was chosen by the fans as the worst episode from all of Star Trek.
That's saying a lot.
This episode received Star Trek 101 Spock's Brain Award for the worst episode of Enterprise. That's Jesus.
Spock's Brain.
But that's it. I mean, you know, although that episode was horrible, I do have to say this series is one of my favorites of Star Trek. I really like the kind of the gung-ho nature of it. And there were some missteps. I think the whole Zindi thing was kind of dumb, and for the most part, when viewed as a whole, I think it was kind of, there was some great episodes in there.
When I was thinking about this, I was looking, because I've been watching on Pluto, I've been watching like DS9. And then I watch like TNG, and then there's Voyager and Enterprise. And Voyager and Enterprise to me seemed to have a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
The tone of the characters, the way the characters, like the dynamics of the characters fail to translate from TNG. And what you don't normally hear is you don't normally hear about DS9. And DS9 had a similar camaraderie with the characters and the storyline. Like, the storyline of DS9 was kind of what Enterprise wanted to do, but for some reason couldn't do it. But then I realized why they couldn't do it. Because of the people that were writing the show, Stephen Ira Baer and Michael D. Moore, like, they ran DS9. Like, they were considered like the black sheep of the franchise, but their story was serialized. Like, they had one-offs, but they had stories that you kind of had to know what was going on, relationships that you had to know what was going on. And all those characters in that show grew. And I think when you look at Rick Berman and Brandon Braga and them, and you kind of like, okay, I see the pattern here. Those two are very mundane. They don't have that dynamics that you had with TNG, and the reason TNG was so much better is all the people that worked on both, you know, that went to Voyager and then had gone to DS9 had split up. You didn't have them all writing great stories or creative stories. And I think that's really what happened. All the people that liked, ooh, DS9 is doing something different, that's where I'm going to go. And that's why I think the shows of like Voyager, you know, I mean, obviously in both of them, there's some gems in there, but they kind of suffered from the same thing where characters didn't really develop.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, if Enterprise had done more of what DS9 had done in serialized storytelling, because they were doing it before everybody else was, you know, they had overarching themes. They didn't have three episodes that dealt with one thing and then moved on to something else. Like, I think if they kind of follow DS9's pattern, the way serialized storytelling was going and stuff like that, I think they would have been a lot better off.
Well, Enterprise definitely had less of a focus on the characters and more on the overarching story, which didn't ground the characters at all.
Yeah.
You know, it makes us sit here going, why are they still ensigns? Like, that kind of shit. Like, it makes no sense. You know, even TNG, you saw people getting promoted.
Yeah.
You know, and even the ones you never saw got promoted because they were in the top tier of their class. There was nowhere else to go. But like Troy got promoted.
Yeah, you even saw things like the commander's exam and stuff like that. You know,
right?
Like,
you saw all that shit. You saw people actually growing as characters, and I think the Enterprise was really missing that. Voyager as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems like the only common thread. Because the newer Star Treks don't have that either. But TV's a little different now. You know, it's moving faster. There's less episodes. You know, so it's not as big of a deal. But if you're going to do 26 episodes and no one's going to fucking go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little weird.
Yeah. But in the end, it was, I mean, we started this journey in 2020. With First Contact and then Broken Bow. Right. And, you know, it's finally come to an end.
We're moving down the timeline.
Yeah,
you know.
We're finally getting out of that and moving to, you know, I think next week is where we hit the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Where we go with Pike's first adventure, the original Star Trek pilot. So.
It's been a long road.
So it does feel good to finally finish a series.
But then also we don't get to watch Enterprise anymore, so
yeah but now we can watch it to just watch it, you know.
That's true. Now we can just enjoy it on our free time or lack thereof,
right?
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.